There is a word which is seen quite often on highway signs, but which is not used all that often otherwise. And perhaps the reason it isn't used all that often is that the action to which it directs us is not one that is often done, or at least not often willingly done. We don't particularly like to do this thing as we are driving down highways any more than we like to do it when certain people cross our paths. And that's too bad, because the more this is done, the smoother can become one's own journey through earthly life. And so the Lord directs us to conduct ourselves in a particular way as we continue on to glory. Having assured us Gentiles that an access has been provided for us onto the way that leads to life through faith in Christ, and having been warned not to slip back into thinking that our salvation in any way depends on our own works or actions, which is the wrong way to see it, Scripture directs us, among other things, to develop a certain attitude toward our enemies, those whom we may encounter along the way. In Matthew 5, Jesus said, "I myself say to you, do not resist the evil person, but rather, whoever slaps you upon the right cheek, turn to him also the other." In other words, Jesus directs us to yield. We're familiar with the type of location where this word is frequently placed: at intersections. The driver who is approaching a highway which already has traffic on it is directed to give way to those cars that might already be on the desired lanes. And the reason for doing so is obvious. If an approaching driver does not yield, it's likely that there will be a very dangerous collision. And so it is with the various confrontations with enemies that we might encounter on the way through earthly life. As we head toward glory and the endless joys, the Lord showers us with amazing amounts of joys and blessings along the way, it doesn't take long to realize that earthly life is not without its share of unpleasant encounters. When we were brought to faith, we were not placed on some type of suspension bridge which lifts us high above the transactions of this world. We're still in the world for a while, and all sorts of evil can cross our paths. And so we're told how to deal with the type of evil that expresses itself in assaults or attacks on the people of God. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus spoke of the various forms of difficulty that Christians can expect in this world and how to respond. Now, when a person is struck in some way, the natural response is to respond in kind. When we are hurt or hit, the impulse is to hurt or to hit back. Bumper stickers have been known to inform onlookers that there will be retaliation if something is done that is not welcomed or appreciated, using such wording as, "You touch my car, I bust your face," or, "I don't get mad, I get even." Well, words such as these resonate very favorably with our old sinful nature, which likes to defend such thoughts by concluding that hurting somebody who hurts me is only logical. Logical, maybe. Loving, no. Look at Jesus. The one who directs us to turn the other cheek is the one who turned his own cheek time and time and time again. As we heard during the Lenten season just concluded, as well as during yesterday's chapel address, Jesus was constantly or frequently during Holy Week abused to all different types of misplaced and unloving kinds of actions. And every time, he who could have easily flattened his foes with a single syllable endured patiently. When the high priest mocked him, Jesus stood in silence. When the soldiers whipped him, he held his tongue. When the soldiers spit on him, he bit his lip. Peter summarized, saying, "When he was reviled, he reviled not in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten." In this day and age, when public awareness to abuse of physical and verbal types is heightened and is given much press, and everyone is encouraged to stand up and stick up for one's rights and not allow oneself to be abused in any way, this directive of the Lord might really seem absurd. But when we see it in the full context of Scripture and remember how God is active in the affairs of the world, it becomes evident that restraint is very much in place. First of all, we need to see this in the broader context of Scripture. I don't think the Lord here is refuting self-defense in all situations. Remember that both King David and the Apostle Paul themselves fled when they sensed that they were about to be attacked and assaulted. They left the situation of the scene when they had the opportunity to do so. The Lord does not direct us to sit like pigeons just waiting to be picked off. But what he does like to see in the lives of his people is a reflection of the patience and love and endurance that he put on perfect display, and avoiding responding with hatred in kind. And why is that so wise? Because of the fact that the Lord is in complete control of all things. Jesus, we're told, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges rightly. Just because we don't take vengeful action doesn't mean that action won't be taken. If some score needs to be settled, God can take care of it and will take care of it in his own good time, in his own righteous way. Paul wrote to the Roman Christians, "Dearly beloved, do not avenge yourselves, nor give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. And so, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink." And what is positive result number one? "For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head." The person who is lashing out or striking us unjustly will be feeling pretty low and ashamed when the anticipated counter punch is not received. As for positive result number two, having a positive influence on those who do assault. There's no way to have a good influence over evil behavior by displaying an assaulting attitude ourselves. But evil can be overcome by love. Love is the far more powerful of the two, as we can learn from God's dealings with us. In addition to these, by yielding to our adversaries, we give glory to our Heavenly Father. Shortly after this text, Jesus said, "Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, that you may be the children of your Father who is in heaven." When we are led by the Spirit to behave differently than the world of animosity, it brings pleasant and good attention to our very different Father. Any Christ-like actions can only give glory to the Christ who prescribed them. As is the case with any command, of course, the command to turn the other cheek, to yield to those who would strike, is one that we have failed to fulfill. But Christ has fulfilled also this for us. In him we have forgiveness for our failings and can find in him also the needed motivation to love more fully, even as he loved perfectly. "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us. And again, he did not sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges rightly. He himself bore our sins in his own body. So may he, by whose stripes we have been perfectly healed, enable us also more fully to yield." The justice which the Lord promises is mentioned in hymn 814. 814, stanzas 2, 5, and 6. 814, 2, 5, and 6.